I know those are the skills of attending a meeting on my behalf.
Where are the members? Ms. Tao, where's
Ms. Maxiana White?
Honorable Flau. Honorable Kekane. Are there any apologies for that?
No, it's only Flau and Corona.
Maybe they're still on their way. Members, do we have the copy of the agenda in front of us? The minister doesn't have. Could you hand over the Honourable Grace, can you read the agenda out to us? Thank you. Could we also hear from the minister who is here? I don't think it's necessary for us to introduce ourselves to you, and now you know who we are. But can we know who's here today?
Thank you, Honorable. I don't know whether the chairman is asked to introduce them by name, but this is the team from the department comprising of the Minister's office as well as the branches within the department. So that is the team. And the chair wants to ask them to introduce themselves individually.
Morning, on the chairperson. I'm Ken Terry. I'm the acting DG.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Min Chang. I'm a chairperson. I'm working in the ministry seconded from the province of the minister.
Good morning, chairperson.
My name is Valentine Duvani. I'm the head of the DEN conference. Now, branches.
Can you repeat that?
I'm the head of the program, the CBS officers, which are now branches.
Good morning, honorable chairperson, honorable members, and minister. I'm Lanji Reddy, in the branch Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality. I'm the director.
Good morning, honorable chairperson, minister, honorable members. I'm David Chabalala, President and Responsibility Branch.
Good morning, honorable chairperson, honorable minister. My name is David Bandiwe. I'm in the branch of Life of the Country.
Thank you.
Good morning, chairperson, and honorable members. I'm Ibani Mugabe.
Morning, Chapter 3, and another Chapter 3 member.
Minister and Honourable Members and the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the party. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. You would see on the agenda probably what we are merely doing. We are trying to get information from the department, which of course is due to us as members of parliament. In short, we are partly doing our oversight and accountability. So I don't know how you are going to structure your responses. I'm sure you might have seen the agenda before the meeting. So you are free to start from whichever angle. You want to start on the side of someone who's dealing with disabilities, that is fine, or children, or women, or if you want to start on the side of some explanation on the vacancies, you are free to do that. But it would make sense for us to start here from the on the report, I think, on the performance of the department. I think that would make sense for us, but unless you said otherwise.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Firstly, we would like to thank the Chair and the Honourable Members in the Council of Committee for inviting us to come and be part of the Committee to present our progress report in terms of the breakdown since the last time we came here when we presented our budget report. We will be making a presentation, an overall presentation, and obviously also respond to questions that will be posed by members here. But I would like to start by saying that whatever we will be doing, our starting point is within the mandate of the ministry, the vision, and the mission, which we all understand by now, which means the facilitation of compliance and the exercise of oversight in South Africa's delivery of the constitutional, electoral, continental, international development and information mandate on the social economic development and cultural rights of women, children and people with disabilities. Within the context of the vision of the non-profit, discrimination free equity and gender equality oriented and inclusive society that has both protect and develop the human potential of its women, children and people with disabilities. So the as we know the mission of the Department for Women, Children and People with Disabilities is to create an enabling environment to facilitate the translation of constitutional, continental and international obligations into programs that will advance the rights and social, economic and cultural development of women, children and persons with disabilities. So the strategic objectives were enshrined within the strategic plan, which is to facilitate compliance with national, regional, continental and international instruments for the advancement of equity and access to development opportunities by women, children and persons with disabilities. To mainstream women, children and disability considerations in key government systems and initiatives at national and international level. To exercise oversight on the national program for women, children and people with disabilities, and to support comprehensive national and all the other levels. As well as facilitate training, implementation, progress tracking, and agreement and strategies for continuous improvement in the process. To lead on behalf of government in South Africa in women's, children's rights and disability initiatives at all the levels that have been mentioned. So basically, Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, we wait to report to you within the Congress, as I have indicated. But there are just a few things that I'd like to touch on before I ask the SUDG to then start with the process of our presentation, to indicate that on the appointment, we have started a process of appointment, especially with the appointment of the Director General, which was finalized. However, the selected candidate decided to decline the offer. We are now in the process of reopening the process so that we can be in a position to appoint a suitable candidate as soon as possible. We are also in the process through the process of government in the cabinet to ensure that five deputy directors general are appointed as recommended to cabinet. Hopefully, in the next week or so, we will be able to inform the committee about those appointments which are to be made by the cabinet. The rest of the position has been advertised, specific posts ranging from chief director to deputy director in all the branches. This post will be posted after the approval of the deputy director general position by cabinet, and it is our wish that this post will be filled by end of October. The rest of the details will then be in the presentation that is going to be done by the acting director general, including the issue of budget and how the funds allocated have been utilized. As of now, Chairperson, allow me to hand over to Mr. Ken Cherry to present our comprehensive report to the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much.
Okay. Perhaps before we hand over, members, are there any issues of clarity, seeking questions to the minister on her overview? Honorable Marcus.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think when it comes to the overview of the minister, it does not question it, because it just comes through in the administrative report they've given us, and it does question them. Thank you. That's all.
There is a proposal. I see hands are up. I'm not sure whether they are supporting the proposal or they do have some clarities. Honorable member.
Chairperson, I just want a clarity from the minister what she said regarding the, she said the DG or the DDG was appointed and the appointment was declined. What prompted that he or she declined the appointment? On her view, if you can just brief us, what prompted the DDG to decline?
Honourable Mr. Chalo, do you have the same question? Can you make a comment, please?
My interest is I saw the minister reading that the country gets a copy of the piece of the document that she was reading.
All right. Could you then just have those? The one is a request for the copy of the minister's overview or input.
Mm-hmm.
So we just then have one question. What prompted the declinement?
Thank you very much. How would you really know the exact reason for the declining? We made the offer and the incumbent wanted to negotiate the language of the appointed chairman, as well as the increase in salary, we know that she was supposed to be given. And within the context of the negotiations that we had already started with her, she then offered that she would not accept the appointment. So that is how far we came for the country, I understand from there.
Thanks, Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. When it comes to admin support services, what the Minister said is under that in our report.
Oh, that's up here.
Yes, it's up here. That's up there. That I said that you should remove it until we hear what's happening. Thank you.
Let's then give the acting DG a chance to proceed. Oh, before proceeding, Honorable Duncan.
Thank you, Chair. There's two presentations, of one that was on the table this morning and this one we received. Which one are we going to do? This one.
Let's proceed, Honorable.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Good morning to everybody. Just to start with the presentation, the Minister has given an overview of the mandate. Just to highlight some of the issues that our President has raised on National Women's Day in 2009, and I quote what he said, that we will monitor government departments to ensure the maintaining of gender, children's rights, and disability considerations into all programs of government and other sectors. This will help government to respond to issues of those integrated or these integrated targeted groups in an integrated and coherent manner. Again, in the State of the Nation in February this year, I quote again what the President said, to integrate gender equity measures into government's program of action and to ensure that women, children and persons with disabilities can access development opportunities. The core functions of the department as they've been defined is to promote the realization and protection of the rights of women, children and persons with disabilities, to coordinate and partner with government entities, civil society and private sector to ensure that gender, disability and children are considerations are integrated into all government programs and broader society. We want to set norms and standards for social, political and economic transformation necessary for achieving the national goals and implementation against policy. We want to monitor and evaluate performance of government departments, publicly funded institutions, organs of civil society, and the private sector. We want to accelerate implementation of international obligations on the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities to which South Africa is signatory. We want to advance international cooperation and partnerships for the promotion and protection of gender equality, equalization of opportunities for persons with disabilities and children's rights, and to initiate and facilitate the implementation of research for the development and use of this aggregated data and program for empowerment of women, children and persons with disabilities. The key roles of the department is the oversight and mainstreaming of gender, children's rights and disability considerations, the compliance with regional and international obligations, and the coordination of social campaigns and relevant commemorative days, to facilitate and monitor the development interventions for women, children and persons with disabilities. Chair, I think we're going to break up the presentation. We're going to be dealing with the women, the children and the persons with disabilities separately. And in terms of women, we're dealing with the violence against women, the global, regional and national United Women Violence Campaign. Under that, we're going to be dealing with developing plans for consultations on Unite and to End Violence Campaign in South Africa. Partnered with Rita Nabu-Bakil's initiative in the Western Cape and other social partners, that's the religious sector, and to launch South Africa's part of this global campaign during the 16 days of activism, which is coming up. The mainstreaming is going to deal with the working with the UN Fund for Population Advancement on the advancement of the wedge work plan developed and being implemented with funding mechanisms, the facilitating the participation of three SA women at the SADC Trade Fair for Women in Namibia. The participants nominated through the Department of Trade and Industry. Then we deal with the African Gender of Women for 2010 to 2020. Currently developing a working document for consultation, including proposed plans for the launch. The consultation proposed for September. Under the mainstreaming, which is being continued, partnering with UNIFEM on Women in Informal Cross-Border Trade Initiative, which will include the interdepartmental task team formed and four meetings to help states. Communication with the ministry underway. Draft funding proposal developed for approval by minister and UNIFEM, and a draft plan of action developed and to be consulted in the near future. In terms of the international obligation, report on South Africa's participation at the UNCSW completed, the Commonwealth Plan of Action implemented program in South Africa. In SADC, the monitoring tool for implementation of the protocol, the draft report document is ready. An update report on the UN Heads of State Solid Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa completed and sent in July. And participating in government process on the MDG reporting, focusing on Goal 3, Gender Equality and Women Empowerment. Coordinated and successful Women's Month program. Collaborated with DERCO and the Pan-African Women's Day, the 31st of July, this took place. There was a media launch on the Women's Month that took place on the 2nd of August in Pretoria. There was an interfaith prayer for women on the 8th of August in East London as a preamble to the actual Women's Day. Then there was a Women's Day memorial lecture on the 8th of August at the Walter Sisulu University. The commemoration of the National Women's Day on the 9th of August, which took place in East London. And then there was a closing ceremony for the Women's Month on the 30th of August in the Limpopo province. We held a UNSA Gender Support Workshop in Pretoria. Recommendation to host a National Women's Conference in October-November 2010 to unpack the patriarchy and sexist thinking towards developing a national plan of action for which the Department of Women, Children, Persons with Disability is part of the task team. Other planned activities for around the women's branch is the department is planning for a national women's conference from the 28th to the 31st of October 2010 towards the feedback on international processes and reporting discussions on gender equity bill and the development of the national plan of action. Working draft concept document has been developed for this already and working on the following issue papers for the conference, which will relate to the gender equity bill, gender mainstreaming strategy, including gender responsive budgeting, gender equality indicators, women's empowerment fund, and the national report on the status of wage and a draft discussion on the program of action. In terms of the children, the mainstreaming is identified critical children's rights imperatives for mainstreaming with key government departments, a draft child protection and development framework, get that in place. Reporting obligations, the second and third reports of the UNCRC reports to be presented at the Social Protection and Community Development DG Cluster on the 15th of September 2010, so that it can be prepared to go to the DECA. The related structures for finalization and submission. These reports will be presented to Cabinet for final approval before the end of the financial year, which is 2010. Campaigns and commemorative days in terms of the rights of children. We organized celebration of International Children's Day and the Day of the African Child was held in Cape Town. The Rights and Responsibilities Campaign and launched the FIFA World Cup Children's Rights Program to raise awareness on protection of children during and beyond the FIFA World Cup. No major incidents were reported as a result of this high awareness campaign and the better law enforcement by the security services. Raised awareness about the challenges of ritual killings, held a national indaba attended by traditional practitioners and other relevant stakeholders on the matter, led the initiative to address the phenomenon of early and forced marriages in Lusikisiki in the Eastern Cape and Zwelimbongo in the KZN. Collaboration with traditional leaders, the SAPS and other stakeholders has led to the decrease in the reported cases of legal breaches. Charles Flynn's 20 Clean Cities Towns project in partnership with COPTA, the finalization of the Child Protection and Development Framework with its necessary indicators, the National Children's Day, the provincial ritual killings in Garba, and the One Goal Education campaign. In terms of the disability, the reporting obligation, the draft report on the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability discussed with the SA Disability Alliance and presented to the DG Crossland on Justice, Crime Prevention and Security, Governance and Administration, and the report to be submitted to the UN by the end of November after approval by the Portfolio Committee and Cabinet. In terms of the reporting obligations, to continue that, participated in and served as Vice President of the Third Conference of Parties to the Convention in New York. The Ministry and SARA supported nomination for Dr. Siva Mudli to the Committee of Experts on the Convention. In terms of mainstreaming with disability, input into three draft policies for the public service. There's a reasonable accommodation, assistive devices and other measures for employment with disability, and employment equity compliance, as well as youth development. Developed and published disability-specific indicators on health, education, employment, and social security in the government report on the development of indicators published by the Presidency. Input into the annual conference of youth farming in Limpopo, mainstreaming disability in agricultural activities, engagement with Gauteng Health on policies related to mental health and psychiatric disabilities, trained middle and senior management of the Department of Social Development on the Convention of Rights of Persons with Disabilities. The campaigns and projects that have been set up finalized the publication of a book by writers with disabilities titled Finding the Hard Soil. The book is to be used for increasing awareness on disability. A final report on the Flemish donor-funded project to be submitted to the internal audit of the Presidency for audit. Audit of special schools in the country to be finalized in November. Establishing a committee of experts. A national conference on disability on the 2nd to 3rd of December 2010. A program of action to be developed. Reviewing of the national integrated disability strategy in line with the convention with a view of coming up with appropriate legislation, and accessibility campaign to deal with the barriers. Building of institutional capacity, we intend there's planned provincial consultative meetings within the three sectors to consult on programs of action for all three sectors, location of the units in the provinces, advocacy and awareness campaigns, accessibility, 16 days of activism, child protection and development, etc., and capacity building programs within the provinces to be led from the department. If we go to the administrative and support services, in terms of communication environment, communication strategy has been developed and approved by the GCIS, and I hope the honourable members would have seen that the departmental website has been established. The website is www.wcpd.gov.za. It's live, it's accessible. In terms of other administrative processes within the department, currently the department is being hosted with very limited space within the union building, and we are currently in the process to finalize a building in the Pretoria area to host the ministry and the department. With the Department of Public Works, we have finalized the process of contracting, and they are dealing with the internal processes to make sure that the tenders and everything applicable is going to be finalized. Once the department has finalized the contract and the landlord has handed over the building to us, within a period of 6 weeks, we will be ready to relocate the ministry and the department to the new building in Pretoria. In terms of our human resources, the Minister did give an overview relating to the position of the Director General. Has started from scratch as the first report, the first appointment materialized. Apologies for the spelling error. In terms of the DDG positions, interviews have been concluded and we are awaiting the outcome of the Cabinet. There's a number of posts that have been advertised, ranging from deputy director up to chief director level. The closing date for these adverts was the 27th of August 2010, and the selection process will commence soon, and as the minister has also indicated, as soon as the DDGs have been appointed, they will form an integral part of this process. Just to also indicate to the honourable members that all the posts that were advertised in the department based on the approved establishment, they have gone through a process of job evaluation in compliance with the Public Service Act. Once all these posts have been filled as highlighted above, it will constitute a 30% filling of the 195 approved posts for the department in the current financial year. Just to also give an indication to the honourable members that all the officials previously who were employed in the programs in the presidency have been appropriately absorbed within the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. So the matching and placing process has also been concluded, signed off, and people are formally in the new department. In terms of the budget, it's quite an extensive process when you set up a new department. It's not just allocating funds and managing them. The department had to set up its own bank accounts, as well as the Paymaster General accounts, which have been concluded. We have also set up and activated most of the transversal systems, and will be populating the budget as well as the establishment in the coming weeks. Once the process is concluded, the presidency, who is currently hosting us, will then be able to submit the claims for all expenditure to be allocated to the correct objectives once all these processes have been set up. To continue with the budget, the appropriated budget as for the E&P for 2010-11 is 97.790 million, including the transfer to the CGE, which is more than 50% of the amount, which is 51.949 million, of which there's a capital payment amount of 6.583 million. The total expenditure as of 31 August 2010 for the department is 18.821 million. This is 47.94% of the appropriated amount of 39.258 million for the department. The amount transferred to the CGE as of 31 August 2010 is 23.317 million. This is 44.8% of the appropriated amount of 51 million, which is in line with the current expenditure trends as set out by them, because they get their transfer on a monthly basis. Just to say to the honourable members that
Chairperson, just a point of order. I don't have these pages that the deputy is reading to. I mean, the acting deputy is reading to. Thank you. Because I'm listening.
Just hold
it,
members. Hold it. Don't get excited about that.
The documents that you were given this morning
are
the ones that
you
were given for preparation were not complete.
Hold it, Robinson. Robinson, can you just hold it? Can I hear what was your concern?
Chairperson, my concern was, because we received these documents yesterday, and what is being read by the acting DG is not in these documents, because we concentrated on those that we received. Thank you.
Members, are you all in the similar position?
Yes.
Who does? Members, why are you getting out of order today? I have a copy of what is being read.
Yes.
Who does not have a copy? Robinson? Everything's wrong today.
What we received in advance was not fulfilled. It was complete. But what was put on our desk this morning is complete.
Mm.
But that is really disappointing, because one prepares for one's meeting, one would like the full facts. There are many more facts available now than we have in the documentation that we received for preparation. So that is a disappointment.
Now I understand your point.
Thank you.
department, can you take responsibility for that? What happened?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Some of the information was only concluded very late, and some of it was only done yesterday because we had to draw special reports. If I'm allowed to conclude, then I can give an explanation of how the process is working.
Mm-hmm.
So the money is not, all these reports are not available directly in the department's budget. We have to draw them from the presidency. And we had to wait for closures of the month and some expenditures to try and give as accurate as possible expenditure. And we were only able to get some of that information yesterday. We didn't want to give information that was not concluded, not complete. The information that we have here is the latest information and the correct information that we have at this point in time.
I think the explanation numbers is a valid one. Can we accept that? And can we allow the acting DG to proceed?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. The budget for the department is currently in a suspense account in the presidency's budget. The presidency being the department, hosting the department in the meantime, until all the salary and all the financial structures have been allocated and finalized in the vote 7, all the money is expended by the department. It goes through the presidency's policies. We use the presidency's financial structures to do this, and we allocate that to a suspense account, and from there we do the payment. What then happens is, once all our structures are up, when I conclude the administrative part of the presentation, we will then take all the expenditure incurred in that suspense account and we'll allocate it to the vote in terms of the program structure that's been approved by the Treasury and put together, and then all the responsibility and the objectives. And then we can allocate it, and by then we will only be able to also deal with the reporting, which the Honourable Chair also raised as part of the agenda. It is very difficult at this point in time because the department structure has not been finalized. Then to do progress reports and reports relating to budget versus objectives, if you cannot see exactly what the amounts are. At the moment, a global amount, and we've got people in the finance department making sure that we can allocate them to the correct responsibility and objectives so that we can do proper reporting in the future. This is a process that all departments that are new, we've got two in the presidency that we're hosting. The other one is the Department for Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, where we've got the same system, and it's going to take a while for us to conclude this. Hopefully by the third quarter of the financial year, we would have concluded all the financial systems for both these departments, and we'll be able to do a more comprehensive, accurate budgetary and reporting for line items, which is not possible at this point in time. If I can conclude or continue, we have also, based on the expenditure reports that we've had and all the expenditure that has taken place up until the end of August, in the adjustment budget process, we have approached the National Treasury to go to the Treasury Committee, which is to conclude their business at the end of September, and ask for an additional $44.430 million for the department. For the current financial year, to fund some of the expenditure that we've had to incur and some expenditure that we need to incur. The acting CFO and myself have said, and with the current budget that we've had, we've spent more than 50% in the first half of the financial year. If we are not going to get sufficient funding from the National Treasury, we're going to have to put measures in place to curb a lot of the programs and a lot of the objectives that we've set out for the current financial year that would not be able to take place, and we will not meet those objectives due to the financial constraints. However, our discussions with the program officers at the National Treasury in the preparation for the Treasury Committee, the indication is quite positive that the Minister of Finance will be recommending that the department gets additional funding to deal with some of the issues that we have to deal with. The additional amount will be used for primarily the celebrations that take place every year in terms of women, children, and people with disability, and that we've got the visa process that we want to follow, as I've indicated in the programs of the provinces. And the challenging part is, which is not always understood by everybody, that the national days were hosted by the three programs within the presidency previously, and being in the presidency, the funding for that was with the Department of Arts and Culture and the Department of Public Works. as these departments, where the president is the host official, they make provisions for that. When the functions were then transferred to the department, the new department, the funding related to that from the Department of Public Works and the Department of Arts and Culture was not transferred with them. So those monies are still with them, and to solicit those funds from them has been quite a challenge because of the cost-cutting measures. They also had utilized the funds in a different way. The funds were with them, but they weren't appropriated for specific functions. So it was a global amount, and it has become difficult. And what the Treasury has said in the interaction with it is that when the additional funding through the Treasury Committee does take place, they will be negotiating with those departments and, if necessary, moving funds from there so that we can get the sufficient funding. Addition to this is the compensation of employees, as well as we've also got the new building that we do have. Currently, the Ministry is, and the department is hosted in the Presidency, and there is no payment because it's a national key point. The department doesn't have a lease amount that they have to pay. If the new building is finalized, the lease payments for the building have to take place. We have to get our security structures over there. We have to get sufficient equipment for the accommodation. And then obviously there's an operating cost for the building that also needs to be included. Chair, I've spoken a bit about the transversal systems. The PowerPoint and the BAS, which deals with the financial expenditure and the personnel expenditure, are being implemented. The target date for the BAS to go live is the 1st of October. The bank account, the Paymaster General account, has been opened with the National Treasury. This is the account that interfaces with all your expenditure reports. The commercial bank accounts have been opened with First National Bank, and accounts interfacing with the BAS process on a daily basis. We have tested the electronic bank transfer system, and it's working. The other issues that are still in progress is just the registration with the Government Employees Pension Fund that has to take place, and the registration with the South African Revenue Service for the pay as you earn, and the casualty number has been completed, and they have granted that allocation. That allocation we received last week on Thursday. Just to conclude, Chairperson and honourable members, that there's agreement with the Presidency and the Department that all the policies pertaining to the Presidency are currently utilised for any processes of employment as well as purchases, any spending of money. The same policies that are put to the Presidency are applicable to the Department until they've got their final structures up and running, they've got their people employed and things are running, and then the Department can revise and determine their own policy formulation and processes to function autonomously. Chairperson, that's the end of our presentation, and I think you can deal with the questions.
Thank you. Can I just wait till the two of you settle this? Can we waste a few minutes and wait for yourself to settle this? Thank you, Acting DG, for the presentation. Members, perhaps before I give you an opportunity to get clarity and to ask questions, could I just ask the Acting DG, you've mentioned that you have now started the processes of the acting DG and the explanation you gave with regard to the DG. Can I then just understand when will the other post be filled? About 161 posts, when are they going to get filled? But maybe you can just take 5 questions at a time, and I do believe it's not only your responsibility to answer, otherwise it will be too much for you. I'm sure you're going to share the responsibilities. And on the issue of your website, could we just also get an indication as to how much has been spent on that? And also, I do have a bit of a problem as to who, since the money that is being used is from the presidency. Is that the understanding? To the department. So when you explain, can you just explain who then takes accountability for that? Which office is going to deal with, you know, accounting for the monies that have been spent? But I don't want to say much. Could I hand over to the members of the committee to get clarity and ask questions on some of the issues? Honorable Marcus? Is there another hand? Honorable Robinson? Honorable Wekana? Honorable Duncan? Let's stop there for now. Let's not overload the question, otherwise it will be a bit difficult to answer.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm only going to ask two questions. When a person goes through your report and a person looks at children, then you, when it comes under mainstreaming, then you explain what you are doing. Even when it goes to disability, you explain. But when it comes to the mainstreaming of women, there is no explanation on how you are going to do it. Because you don't speak about what monitoring plan you have in place. Because if you have to have a monitoring plan in place for all government departments. And the mainstreaming has to be coordinated by your department. And then you have to ensure that the budget of all the departments are gender sensitive. Because when you speak to women, you speak about totally different issues. Because you speak, yes, to violence against women. You speak, yeah, mainstreaming, you speak about working with UNFPA, but you don't speak to mainstreaming. Then my second question is on your budget. 51.949 went to the Gender Commission. And you paid them extra money for capital payments of 6.583 was done. Now, I'm an impression they received a grant of just 51 million plus. So why was extra payments given to them? That's all. Thank you.
I have identified members that are going to...
First of all, can I just say that this presentation is very general. I think we need far more detail.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know what has been happening and what has been done. Just one point to start off with, there's no glossary. And you have used many abbreviations of terms that we're not familiar with. Please give us the benefit of your knowledge. We aren't party to every all the information I have, so let us know what we're talking about. Right. There are many general things that have been said, and it really concerns me. I'm glad that we're having this meeting, that we are now talking, that we are getting to understand what is happening. But I think the fact that 2 years have gone by, and we still seem to be stumbling around the appointment of staff, we've spoken about this last application, or appointment of this DG, the previous person was dismissed for no rhyme or reason, or we understand. It really is very concerning that a department which is so important still seems to be stumbling after all this time. For example, a book has been commissioned. I'd like to know how much that's going to cost. But we seem to be spending a lot of money on celebrations, on national days, on all sorts of things, but what are we doing on the ground? How is all this money that is being spent helping the people who are most severely afflicted, whether they are people with disabilities or women or children? I think we need to get to the nuts and bolts. And one of the important things, I mean, the core function of this department is to monitor and to evaluate. Now, what information have we got? what is mentioned is a lot about mainstreaming. What is the progress that you have made? I understand your difficulties with finance and with staff and with everything else, but after 2 years, surely we should have some information that we know how you are consulting with the other departments, because this is the monitoring and evaluation role that we should be performing, not putting on sideshow. We need to know what the activities are that you are performing. Are they actually speaking to mainstream of all aspects? So I think we need a lot more detail. We need a lot more information. Hopefully this is the start, but we need to get this house in order. Thank you.
Members, while I appreciate that you ask questions, but can you keep your questions limited, please? Honorable Vicky. I think there was another hand. Honorable Duncan.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask a question from the presentation first. You say that you partnered with Lita Nabantu Initiative. What process did you follow to decide on this particular organization? On this question, Chairperson, I really want to not just ask the question and be answered here today. I would like to have a report on partnering with this particular organization. My second question is, the Ministry also made mention of developing a tool for implementation of the SADC protocol, and as far as I'm concerned, and if I'm correct, this protocol has not been ratified. I'd like to know what the situation is there. And then, just referring to the children, to the report on children, again, it is a matter of that the department say one of the challenges is the budgetary constraints. I know that they now have asked for more money. What is the department going to do with regard to the fact that it seems that this branch once most probably when people are put in place, staff are put in place, will there be money to actually, with regard to the core function of the ministry to perform their work? So I would like to know what are they going to do about that. And then lastly, Jefferson, I think that it is important to say to the ministry, we are quite aware of what the mandate, the core function, and the key roles of the department is. And most of it is about to hold all other departments, which is, and if I'm correct, nationally, there's 37, including the ministry's 37 national departments. Now, it is going to be a large responsibility for this department to hold all 36 departments responsible. But why I'm raising that is, with regard to the launching of any days for children, for persons with disability, and even women. I would like to know from the minister how we will, in future, move on and ensure that specifically the multi-party women's caucus, as well as this portfolio committee on women, how we will be drawn in when it comes to the planning of those kind of events. Because one wouldn't want to see it as implementing anything, because it's not the core function and part of the mandate of the ministry to implement. But however, I do understand that we have to at least give recognition to the sectors that we serve. But I would want to know, especially from the minister, what the minister will do to ensure that the other structures are included into planning these events and days. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I again say, can we keep our questions limited? Let us, we'll take a second round of questions, but for now let us give a chance for the department to respond. But when responding, can you also include the issue of when we had public hearings on the human trafficking bill? There were a lot of issues that were raised around Ugutwala, and I know the department has done some work on it. But now please expose what you have done on that issue as well. I know the department has been doing a lot of work, but the problem is that the committee hasn't been getting a report on that. So perhaps you can briefly also touch on that when responding.
I'm going to deal with the questions that I need to deal with in terms of the administrative and the financial part, and the colleagues in the programs will deal with the specific program issues related to the questions that were asked. The 161 posts to be filled is going to be in a phased-in approach. It's virtually impossible to fill 100 posts in one financial year if you go through all the correct processes and the limited kind of resources that we do have at the moment, not only in terms of funding but also in terms of human capital to get this done, because it's being done on an agency basis at this point in time. So the 161 posts will be filled. That's going to be in a phased-in approach. We'll get the management structures in place by the end of this financial year, and then next year we'll start in the new financial year if we have the leeway to finalize all these processes earlier and we have the funding. We will deal with some of the lesser posts in this financial year, but the intention is to do it in a phased-in approach, and it will take over a period of 2 years we will complete everything. Obviously, because it's a brand new department, and this is something that I want to relate to as well, in terms of the issues of taking too long to finalize all the processes, the challenge that we do have is that with the exception of our three departments, which is the Department for Women, Children, People with Disabilities, Economic Development, and the Department for Monitoring, Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. These are three brand new departments. There was nothing before. These ministers didn't even inherit some form of structure. Everything has to be started afresh. There's not very many public servants around. And even at the national level, the departments are finding the people supporting these departments in creating these new structures. The majority of the departments is an honor. It's a restructuring process, but it's an ongoing concern. So it is quite a lengthy process. To finalize an establishment, the process has to go from after the department has decided what the requirements are based on the mandate. It's got to go to the Department of Public Service Administration, where there's a lot of consultation that takes place, with the work study people to do a proper investigation and a study to determine where the structures and what they should be. Then we go to the Treasury and negotiate for funding on that, and once those have been signed off, then only do we have an approved structure. Once the approved structure is there, then we've got to go through the process of evaluating each post in compliance, advertising, and and all the compliance issues do take quite a long time. The issue of the accountability for the spending is currently it's with the Department of Women, Children, People with Disability. That's why you have an acting DG with an accounting officer that accounts for all that expenditure within the department at this point in time. So all those signatories go through, and they, as I indicated, but they also use the policies applicable to the presidency at this point in time. All the money that has been spent, the 18.8 million that's been spent already, if I'm speaking with another head where I work in the presidency, is coming off my budget over there, and it's in a suspense account. So we've actually incurred the expenditure, and as soon as the structure, the financial structures have now been finalized and we've populated the budget appropriately, then we can, then there's a departmental claim that goes through, and then we'll get our money back, and then the money will be allocated to the programs and the responsibilities as required, which is going to make the reporting a lot easier, because currently it's in a suspense account. So if anybody wants to know a specific expenditure, I don't draw the batch into that suspense account, and I'm going to make a compile of it. And so it does take a little time. I think the question around the 6.5 million in the presentation under capital expenditure, that it's not money that was allocated. If we have a look at the actual presentation, it's not money that was given to the CGE. The breakdown of the 97.7 million is 51 million for the CGE. The rest is there's an amount that has been allocated of 39.25 million for the department, and 6.538 million of that 39 million is for capital expenditure. So it's not, the CGE does not get any additional funding as far as that is concerned. In terms of the appointment of staff, we will then, as I've indicated, it does take long because of the processes. We've moved quite extensively. I'm also assisting the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, and they are even more pressure, and they are even finding it even more difficult, and because they've also got to set up new structures. The advantage that we had is that we had some form of structure in terms of the three programs we were able to start off with, and just to indicate that we are not behind in terms of the other two departments that have started up new departments from scratch. I think the other issues we will rely on the colleagues to deal with, but before we deal with that, the Minister will deal with the issues that relate to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to deal with Dr. Pius with a question. Second issue that we also indicate to explain that we are currently on monitoring and evaluation. We are currently working with the Ministry for Monitoring and Evaluation to develop monitoring plans for the department so that they then inform how we are going to be monitoring the other departments to ensure that everybody complies with what needs to be done. That is the first thing. The second thing, we are also in the process of developing a mainstream strategy that must inform how we are all going to mainstream the gender considerations, the rights of children, and the rights of people with disabilities. So we are working, or currently working on that, and hopefully by the January quota, we will be able to go and make a presentation to the recruiter chair on how we would want to ensure we mainstream and we monitor and evaluate a government department in that regard. So that is in line with the question that is now asked. The second question is around the involvement of the multi-party caucus as well as the portfolio committee. And you would know that we have tried to involve the portfolio committee, for instance, in the trip that we've had internationally. You know, the UN Commission on the Rights of Women, we did that, we invited the committee. But even also in terms of the planning for the Women's Day month,
and women based on the question that the moral court has not involved. So the challenge is the people who are part of the process, you know, of ensuring that all parties are participating in the process. So what I am saying to honourable members is that in all the processes that we are engaged with, we are mindful of the importance of inclusion in terms of all the parties, political parties that are participating in parliament and which are represented in the country as well. So in that, I think all of us, the fellow committee, the women's caucus, we will have to find the mechanisms of how best we can ensure, you know, that we ensure that optimum participation of everybody. The program on human trafficking is an ongoing process. It has a campaign that has many faces. It has faces in terms of forced marriages of young children to older men. It also has in manifested itself in the trafficking of children, you know, in selling children to other people or human beings in that matter. So it manifests itself also in ritual killing. So trafficking is a challenge that has got so many parts. But what we have done, we have started engaging communities, we started with Lupiki City, engage traditional healers, engage the community members, engage the young people themselves to ensure that we all move together in this regard, in raising awareness and also in raising issues around the rights and responsibility of young people and also the responsibility of people who are leaders, leaders from faith-based organizations and all of that. So it's an ongoing program that must find expression in all the programs that we are having moving forward. So we have done some work and we have also including participating with other parties, you know, the partners, including civil society and other government departments to raise awareness even during the World Cup. And fortunately, we did not have the situation that we were so afraid of, all of us, that there would be rampant human trafficking and so on. So, in a way, that campaign was a success, you know, through the collective efforts by everybody in the country and the heightened awareness, you know, by everybody in responding to the call of being vigilant and of ensuring that people do extra care in addressing these matters. So these matters are part of our work of ongoing awareness campaigns, of ongoing programs, you know, that must also improve the communities where they are. So in that regard, I think so far, I can stop there, Honorable Chairperson, and I ask others to take the question around them with the partnership with Illegal Abound. I think I'll ask the committee to respond to that question. So thank you.
Department, can I also disturb you a bit? Can, in the same light as I said to the members, can they limit their questions? Can we also limit our question, our answers as the department? Otherwise, we will not make it, you know, in the allocated time that we have. That's the specific and to the point. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. May I please
start by acknowledging a comment from the Honourable Member that the presentation might be too general. There is information, it's just that the information that was given was for purposes of making a comprehensive, a presentation that will capture the entire department, but we can provide information branch by branch, which can be submitted to the portfolio committee. We also apologize for the use of acronyms. I think sometimes we tend to take it for granted that everybody knows what an acronym stands for, and we will surely correct that. Regarding the issue of partnership with Ilitha Labantu, this was a response to an invitation by Ilitha Labantu as an NGO and many other NGOs that received invitations. So we responded to the invitation where the minister had to deliver a speech, and the appropriateness of the invitation was that it was around the time when the minister had launched a child protection campaign with regards to human trafficking and so on and so on. And the minister delivered a speech there, but we also got an opportunity to raise awareness in terms of the pamphlet that we distributed with information on human trafficking, on abuse against women and children. So the partnership was along those lines. It had nothing to do with us maybe contributing in monetary terms and so on. The partnership was along the lines of raising awareness together, participating in an event where the minister was invited to speak, and also link it with the campaign that the minister had already launched around the issue of 2010 human trafficking, 2010 and beyond. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and Honourable Member for the question. As branches, we will deliberate on issues around the I'll just start off by giving just a brief overview on the mainstream issues and responding to the Honourable Member's question as to whether our activities are speaking to mainstream it. Yes, all of the activities that we presented here today do speak to mainstream issues, because we take into consideration of all the three programs, policies, we've got the South African policy framework on gender issues, we've got a policy on children's rights, and as well the policy on disabilities. So our mainstream address all issues related to the policies, because we want all the policies on the program to be mainstream of all the programs of the three categories. We also seek to mainstream with regard to the focus on the five key priority areas of government. Therefore, all of the five, we need to mainstream them. We need to mainstream gender issues, disability issues, children's issues into the five key priority areas of government. That is the point of departure with regard to mainstreaming. Coming to the issue of the children's report, Honourable Member, we acknowledge the lateness of the submission of the report. When we appointed the director in the branch, the first report was late due to the resignation of the other director and of the guest. But immediately when we appointed the director, we worked on the second report. That is why we are now submitting two reports at a time. And we are going through the process. We need to present the report to the cluster, and we will bring it to the portfolio committee, then to
to cabinet or approval, the approval letter. Then I'll allow the director to be specific in addressing the questions that were raised by the honorable member.
Thank you, honorable members. I am going to address two issues from the women's grant.
Mm-hmm.
One is particularly on the mainstreaming. Perhaps, as has been indicated by the senior managers, we have given simply certain cases of where we have reached advanced stages of development. We've not listed everything that we're doing. And if you would, the honorable members would recall, the operational plans do carry the details of the mainstreaming. However, just to say that the department has started prior to its leaving for the UNCS, for the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women in March this year. The department has started doing the engendering of the 10 outcomes of government. And we've gone quite far in that, but we are also now trying to get to the point of consulting with individual departments on this. So there is a lot of work that has been done. Much of that work is also being implemented by departments. So it's ongoing. It's not something new and starting now. Together with the M&E process, if you will notice, the women's branch does a lot of reporting. And within the last 8 months, we've produced a lot of reports. And all of them have their own indicators and frameworks. So we're constantly monitoring the work done by other departments, and as well as different organizations in society and civil service. So through the reporting process, at this stage, we are able to obtain some sort of an MNE. But as Minister has laid out, we are also looking at developing a set of indicators for the department. Also, we are developing the mainstreaming strategy. I'm also going to answer the question on the ratification of the SADC protocol. I do acknowledge that we actually slowed the process down, and that I do acknowledge. We started, the country signed the protocol on the 17th of August when Sandton. And immediately after that, we had written the CAB memo to Cabinet for submission to Parliament. We had even written the letter from the former Minister of Presidency to the Speaker. The process is at gone a certain stage, but given the changes in administration, it slowed down. So what we've now done as a branch is to reinitiate the CAB memo. So I'm assuming the CAB memo will go through by some minister in the next few weeks. We've initiated that since this week. We started to pick it out with the desk get it moving. So yes, we are slow in, but we will initiate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, and all members. I think in avoiding to sound like a broken record, the issues that I've noted, most of them have been addressed. That is good to allow Honorable Minister to address that, and also the UNCR community, the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child report. I would just briefly like to add, in a way of commitment, to say we are stressing that between now and the end of this financial year, all the processes will have been set out completed, including submission of the outstanding report. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to briefly address the question of the book that was raised by one of the honorable members. In actual fact, this was a part of the donor funded project by the Flemish government. We are in partnership with the Ministry of KwaZulu-Natal Press, who are our publishers. In fact, there is no funding actually allocated to this project because we are going to be working with them with the specific books as well. The only possibility would be that if we were to put it into Braille translation, that can possibly be something that can be negotiated with the Council for the Blind and Braille South Africa. So it's really a tool to promote awareness. We would like to just also say that the copyright does not belong to this family. It belongs to the writers of the story, the poem in the book.
If I can do answer the question about the cost of the website, the total cost covering the layout and design and establishment and editing of the content, as well as the maintenance and hosting for the period of 12 months to the end of the financial year, as well as the training of communication staff to then manage the uploading of the content going forward, is 157,000.
Honorable question, you want to say something?
Yes,
hopefully not a new question. Do you want to say something on the old question that he had raised?
Yes, Chairperson. I got to my answer. My question was answered on the participation and involvement of the department in the commission of the human trafficking bill. Because if you remember, the committee, there were almost 90% of the NGOs that came. There were problems with that. Ukutwala should be included in the definition of human trafficking. And you know what he was expecting for us was that most of the NGOs that were there, they were from Houghton and the Western Cape. There were not a single NGO from the Eastern Cape where the process was already in place. That's why I wanted to know the involvement of the Department of Human Rights.
I want to come.
So your fear, in short, is that the bill will move without the participation of the department. Could you just say something on that?
Chairperson, honorable members, we acknowledge the fact that we are grappling with a situation where maybe as government departments, we might be working in silos. As a result, we were not part of that process. However, we have realized that it is a very important piece of legislation that will impact on women, children, and persons with disabilities. As a result, we have had a meeting with the Department of Justice talking about the range of other issues, some of the issues that were in the media, for instance, the human trafficking story that is taking place in Villa in Johannesburg, and the other incidents in the other provinces. And we agreed that we are now joining the process because on our side as the department, there is a child protection committee, which is led by ourselves, and the Department of Justice is part of that. And then we agreed that let us collapse these two committees because they have their own committee. And we had the committee that is led by us, which is interdepartmental. The long and short of what we are saying, Chairperson, honorable members, is that we have realized that we missed that opportunity, and now we have joined the process, and we are working with the Department of Justice.
Can I just say something for a short time? Is that I'm sure all of us as government, we don't have enough resources, you know, to carry our function. But perhaps the department also needs to find a way of, you know, of checking all the time. Because if I were to say that we as a committee, we were not invited ourselves.
Mm.
But through the staff of Parliament, our staff, they were able to pick up that there are hearings that are going to take place. So then that called for me as the chair to quickly write to the relevant chairperson to say we want to take part. I think you want to understand what I'm trying to say. You will not always be told what is going on. You have to find your ways of trying to check what is going on in order for you to take part. I mean, on the one hand, one could blame you, but then on the other hand, also, some of the processes, you know, don't speak to each other. I think that one I do accept.
Mm.
Maybe it depends on the staff. They also should be sharp enough to pick up some of these issues. And on the issue of mainstreaming, I think some of the issues the department can just do even without spending a cent. For instance, we will always hamper you on the issue of, I'm giving an example, on the issue of the Domestic Violence Act. Without spending a cent there, the department needs to go to the Department of Police and say, how are you making sure that this is being implemented without spending a cent? The same would apply to justice, the same would apply to social development, the same would apply to health. Because when we went on oversight, we could see that we picked up the reason why the act is not being able to be implemented. The relevant departments have not been playing their part. So on the side of this department, those are some of the issues. I mean, simple issues. You could pick up such issues without spending any money. There are lots of acts like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we shouldn't argue on that one. It's just a fact. Let us just do that. Just to check on other. I know perhaps it could be difficult because maybe one would say that department is on the same par as the other department, so how do I do it? But that is what the mandate calls you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do it. Could I allow other hands? Honorable Marcus?
Yes.
Honorable Peterson?
Yes.
Honorable Member? Honorable Grace? Honorable Tichetano? Honorable
Quick Thank you, Chairperson. I'll be very short. I'm just picking up on the human trafficking. Because the department indicated that no major incidents were reported. And I just recommend on that. Because it is the truth, as the DG, another DG, the Deputy DG is saying, you people are working in silos. Because at the public hearing, they saw there were incidents that were reported by someone that the hooks were on. And it was trafficking of foreigners. We don't know how many children were involved, and they couldn't indicate, you know, what happened internally. So I think it will be important for you to get that information, you know, that you know exactly what is happening. Because you're speaking about the program that you'd like to sustain. Now I'm going to your operational and strategic plan. The department undertook to do certain things in this financial year. And these included the revising of the National Gender Policy Framework. And then consultation on bills, like what the chairperson indicated to, that is in Parliament that affects women. And then implementing the Domestic Violence Act, those findings and recommendations. Although the chairperson said how it could be done, and even when it comes to sexual offences and related matters. So what you'd like to know, how far are you? Because when you see the department again, we're going to take your operational plan, your strategic plan, and ask you questions on that. Then when it comes to finances, I would like to know, because this is important, it's asking money
forward in the financial year from National Treasury, but you don't have any time frame attached to it. I would like to know, because if you can forecast, are you foreseeing overspending? And in the other
limit
one, yes, I'm going to team overspending, and then also whether you are going to have unauthorized expenditures. I'd like to know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is a short one. What is the progress related to the development of a database on disaggregated information? Thank you, Chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the department is saying in written form, they partnered with Lita Labanda, but the response we're getting is that it was merely an invitation for the minister to go and address. So these are two different things. And also they are speaking about the other social partners, religious sectors. If they can spell out exactly which are those, because it's not clear to us, they simply say religious sector or social partners. My second question, I think the Honourable Member might have cast that on the budget. The budget is in the point four. It's not clearly what this, how much amount was used for this. This amount was used for this. So if we can get a breakdown of the budget itself, I'm not sure whether the department is still, it don't have the CFO. I'm not sure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. One other question is on the remark of the station. My second question would be, the department has indicated that they've held a national index which has been attended by the traditional practitioners and other relevant stakeholders with regard to the ritual killings. So my question is that do they have any resolution that has been taken to that index and the possible that it can be provided to the committee? And my other question is that with regard to the reporting, the second and third report on the UN and the AU on Convention on Rights of Children response. On the 24th March, we have asked the department with regard to the reporting of the second and third report. And in their response, they indicated that they've prioritized this matter and are also committed to forward the two outstanding reports on the UN Convention of the Rights of the Child and the AU, respectively, by the end of June. Further, we have received a presentation from the Children's Institute from Transbank, from the University of Cape Town, of which they indicated that the reports were final and they were waiting for cabinet approval. And today also, we are also receiving a report that the report will be forwarded to the Social Protection and Community Development DG cluster on the 15th September 2010. And I'm confused now, because they've committed themselves that they're going to prioritize this. Where is the truth with regard to the time frame that they've committed themselves? And can they also confirm that before cabinet approves that report, are they going to present it to parliament? Because I'm just afraid after cabinet approval, then it will just fly to AU and UN.
You don't have a problem?
I have a big problem. Firstly, I'd like to thank you, the presenter. I'm happy about the progress. And what worries me in the progress is
how so many things have been achieved when the department is so understaffed. And I want to repeat the question again. I'm not satisfied about what the HOCD says about looking at improving the staff. What actually causes the delay? I just want, what causes the delay? I can see that the cabinet has been mentioned here that we don't put it on one. The other thing that's really for the last time we had a woman come and most of the women were from the rural area. And the things that they had and they presented, they were given the answer that the department of the Ministry of Women, Children will have to handle that, whatever they said, because they were women. So I just want to find out from the Minister and the department. As I am, I'm 110% rural woman in the office. And people are expecting a lot from your department. The chairperson made mention of domestic violence. When you tell them that they can go to the police, they can get help from the social service, they have a direct question. What is the use of the violence? Because they said it's for women. How can they help us as a rural woman?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to get clarity that I can see that the budget here, even the 44 million for commemorating special day. What about the women in the classroom? In your department, and can we have a conflict when I go to the constituents? Tell them that I know that it's not the same as the department, but for the mere fact that women, children, and people with disabilities, they expect a lot from the department. So what can you give me today that when I go home, I can try and explain exactly what that is? Do they have to have hope? I know that you talked about monitoring and mainstream. That I do understand. But as a rural woman, they expect something different. Well, maybe, Chairperson, we are talking differently because we are talking of administrative women. We on the other side, we are talking of politics. And they don't expect what you are saying. If you can tell them how many functions will help today, and they will say, when we have such a big problem, and people are spending so much money, we don't have houses, our husbands are living that. What is this industry doing? So please, I need a thorough solution to this. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to speak on two issues. One is on children and the other one on the workshop. On the children, I don't think we need to respond because it's advice. For instance, Home Affairs is dealing with a bill on death and legislation, animal death and legislation. And I'm not sure that the department are going to participate in this. But I don't know how the department is only going to monitor when this bill has been legislated. Because I think what is important is the department is new and they should be cutting themselves of all the processes of the bill that are involving children, women, and whatever during that process. Because the new department is not here that this department is done. Secondly, on the issue of the children campaign, this department only focuses on the relevant dates, like the Children's Day and so on. They do not have a program right through the year. That is something. I mean, the World Cup is gone, and the children's gone in June, gone. And what other campaigns are there from the children awareness program? So I think it's very important that we get that kind of information. The second issue, Chair, is on the workshop. The workshop is going to be on the gender equality bill. And I don't know whether it's not important that we brainstorm together with the department before this is tabled in the workshop as this portfolio committee, because at the end of the day, it stands up with us. And I think it's very important. And the second issue that I need a clarity on I don't see gender machinery on the program of the workshop. I don't know whether we are still there with the gender machinery or with the new department, you are no longer going to continue with the gender machinery, because I think it's very important that actually we need to review the gender machinery together with the gender mainstreaming, because these two have been there all along. And I think for the new department it's very important, even the paper that is going to be presented there, that it starts by reviewing the past so that you are able to move forward. Thank you, Chair. I don't want to get into the women's bunch. Are we invited anyway to the workshop?
How do you talk like that? I don't want to get into the woman's song. Are we invited? Honorable Duncan.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to, on the presentation, with regard to the CTE, it's not like you remember, the CTE was transferred from the Department of Justice. But in the report, it was mentioned that they rent for the offices that they currently rent. What is the situation there between, is it still with the Department of Justice, or who is currently paying for those offices? Because I can remember that the CTE was transferred to the new ministry, but not the money to rent the offices. So I would like to know the situation there. And then I would also like to know who is the landlady or landlord going to be of the new offices of the ministry, and what the, because the acting DG made mention of the landlord, and since we very gender sensitive, I include the landlady. Who that currently is it government or is it private, and what is the cost? And then also ask Chairperson, the Ministry, to just give us a short report, just to answer, so that we can just keep track with it. Just a small report on that particular process, including who's the landlady, who's the landlord, and the cost of it, and how that actually will fit in to the current budget. And then just one more. I'm coming back to the the Bantu initiative. I understand the answer. I would just like to know, since this is one of the NGOs, has this ministry at any stage contributed financially towards this NGO? If not, is the department perhaps aware of any of the other departments, including, because I know that sometimes Parliament itself also contribute to organizations hosting women's events, whether the ministry is aware of any funds from government that gone to this particular NGO. And then I just want to link on with the Chairperson, I'm sorry Chairperson, but I may have to stretch the time, but we don't often get this opportunity. And we are, our mandate is directly to have oversight over this ministry first and foremost, than all the others. So I don't have any problem sitting here till late
tonight so that we can ensure that we look after the three sectors, and including the portfolio's fourth one, which is yours. I just want to link up with the chairperson and maybe just make the ministry aware that from our side, which is part of our mandate, is also from our side to engage with other lead departments. And I want to especially concentrate on, until now, since last year, we have not received the reports that we as a portfolio committee are those ministries to give us a breakdown of their budgets with regard to the Domestic Violence Act. And other than that, to actually give us a report on the breakdown of the budget spent on women, youth, children, and persons with disability. And I'm in particular saying this to you, to the ministry, but in particular to the minister, because the minister said that you are busy with the Ministry on Monitoring and Evaluation to develop mechanisms or tools to monitor the mainstreaming of gender and then also the other sectors of children and persons with disability. It will be useful. It is useful for you to know that we are currently doing this, but we are not getting anything. And I really think it's pretty bad that our department keeps the portfolio committee waiting for months on end to get that result. Then I don't know how long you're going to take. On the other hand, thank you very much, Chair.
Robinson, please don't be long. I hope you do mind to stay here till 10 o'clock.
Thank you very much. I'll be as brief as I can. I just want to follow on from what has been said by both my colleagues. My colleague to my right said the rural women have great expectations of the ministry. Not only the rural women, it's the women in the townships, it's women in the cities, and not only the women, it's the people with disability. And we need to see that we are actually reaching these people, that they need funding, they need help, we need to look at things differently. Now, I think it's difficult that we are just monitoring the evaluation. We don't actually carry out. But this is where we need to monitor and check what is happening by those departments that do have the ability to assist people who are in great need. I also wanted to talk about the reporting. This committee seems to be kept in the dark. We don't know what's going on. And for us as public representatives who deal with these women on the ground and their people with disability and so on, it is embarrassing to say we don't actually know what's going on. So this is a really an urgent appeal that you keep taking things to your confidence. Let us know what you're doing. If you're having an embezo or a function or whatever, let us know about this well in advance. If I think about that National Women's Day event in East London, the launch cost $4,000, $4.5 million. $1.6 million for communication, $1.5 million from the overall, $7.6 million was spent. How much could have been done in a practical way? And you said that there was communication with the multi-party women's committee. But we received our invitation far too late. An invitation was sent to our chairperson, and I think we got it a day or two beforehand. Now, before the event on a Monday, we've all got our own program set up before. We would have loved to be represented as a party, to be given an opportunity to speak and to be able to represent all women. But when everything happens at the last minute, there is no way this can be done. So could you please take our assurance? We want to be part of it. We're there to assist. We're there for everybody. And can we please help and just be acknowledged? Thank you.
Thank you. Obviously, I noted you, Honourable Kaf. Obviously, there is a thorn around Ilitha Labantu. Not pointing a finger to anyone, because we are not sure what is happening. But the department has indicated that they are in partnership. I think that's where all the concerns come from. I mean, there are so many NGOs. it also interests one as to what criteria gets used to deal with a particular NGO. But at this stage, I don't think some of the questions, but really I'm not talking for the department. For instance, the Honorable Duncan asked whether they are aware of any funding that was from any department. I don't think they'll have an answer to that. But just here, but there is, the Ilitha Labantu is questionable in this instance that we cannot run away from. And also, just around that, my biggest concern is around the summit that took place. And at the end of the summit, I did see the director of Ilitha Labantu on TV saying that they have handed a declaration to the deputy president on the MDGs, you know, and that did raise a concern on my part, because we also had a women's parliament which took resolutions on that. So I don't know whether the department is aware of that. Maybe they need to check that on their side, what is the status of those declarations, while we had our own here in Parliament. Maybe you need to do some homework around that. And the issue that was raised by Honorable Kiki, I think, is also important. It is a follow-up on the bill that is being tabled to Parliament on the desk. I was not aware of it myself. Mm. By Home Affairs? Death and death. I think the department needs to be part of that.
Mm.
And I also believe that there is protection of harassment bill.
Yes. Right now for justice.
I'm not sure whether the department is part of that. It would seem that they need to be part of that, you know, make some contribution towards that bill. Otherwise we'll be rendered, you know, quite useless as a department. Perhaps you can respond now, but also I would have expected the department to say at least something on the MDGs, because soon, as a country, we would be expected to make a report on the progress that have been made on the MDGs, and that the department has said nothing about that. And if you look at the goals of the MDG goals, most of them would be expected to be led by this department, you know. Of course, implemented by other departments like social development, Department of Education. But I think this is the key department to take the lead. But could I give you a chance to respond on some of the issues that have been raised? Honorable Clark, do you want to ask something before?
No, just to say the question so that I can answer all of them. Can I? I don't know, should I wait for the last round?
Let's just wait a bit. I think it's a bit too much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will respond to some of the questions and the deputy and other things. First of all, we'd like to take further the issue of Ilitha Labantu. It might have been a matter of semantics around the issue of using the word partnership.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to formally draw the word partnership. We would like to formally withdraw it, we shouldn't have used partnership. But also add that
maybe it was an omission on our side that the department who has just mentioned in the bank, because there are other NGOs that we've worked with where the minister has received invitations. For instance, we have worked with the South African Council of Churches on dealing with the rehabilitation of juveniles in the correctional center. We have worked with Molo Songololo in Newport West, where we dealt with awareness on prostitution, trafficking, teenage pregnancy, and so on. But we've also worked with the South African Disability Alliance recently in SADA, where we've dealt with women with disabilities, the abuse on women with disabilities, and it was a national campaign. So, honorable members, what we are saying is that the Talabantu is not the only organization. There are lots of organizations. As we indicated earlier on, that we will give the detailed information on all the activities that we've done and also all the NGOs that we've worked with. The second question that I would like to talk about. The honourable member raised the issue of the national indaba on ritual killing that took place. Yes, there are resolutions that were taken there, and we will gladly submit the detailed report of that indaba. And one of the resolutions that were taken was that the whole issue of this indaba should be cascaded to all the provinces. In other words, all provinces are going to have their own ritual killing indaba.
Mm-hmm.
And some provinces have already held those indabas. Some are still going to have them. But we will table the report, because it was also very, very important that the indaba is attended by the traditional healers, so that we can hear their side of the story. Because in most cases, this is done. People who are doing this kind of ritual healing, they are saying they are working for traditional healers. So it was very critical that traditional healers are part of that. The other issue that we would like to address is the issue of the honourable member talking about the visibility of the department on the ground. That is why somewhere in the presentation, the acting DG talked about the planned provincial consultative meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And these consultative meetings are planned in such a way that as a department, we are going to spend 4 days in a province, in each province. The first day, the minister will be meeting with the women's sector, representatives of all women, and then the second day, children's sector, the third day, the disability sector, and then on the fourth day, it will then be communities. Because we would like to first introduce the department to the provinces,
mm-hmm.
introduce and say, here is the department, this is the mandate of the department, these are the problems, so that all these sectors
including the communities, can get an opportunity to input into the program of action of the department. But also, this will give the department an opportunity to deal with the issue of the institutional arrangement within the provinces, because we know that these programs at the moment are located in senior offices. So we really need to deal with that as well, and also deal with issues of advocacy and awareness. So those provincial consultative meetings in Bezo will create a platform for the department to listen to all the three sectors, plus the community at large, as to how then do we carry our mandate forward. And Chairperson and honorable members, these provincial consultative meetings, it has always been the intention of the minister to ensure that the portfolio committee is involved. We will come up with a schedule of this consultative meeting well in advance, so that the portfolio committee will be able to participate. The other issue is the issue of the conference. I'm not sure, honorable member, when you're talking about the workshop, you're talking about the conference we talked about.
Yes.
National Women's Conference.
Okay.
The National Women's Conference is a concept that that emanated from the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women. I'm trying to avoid using the acronym. And then it was agreed there that we will then have, as a country, a national conference. And this conference is going to be a platform where we will be able to report back on all the international engagements that we've had. The United Nations, the Commonwealth, the AU, and so on and so on. But also, it will give us an opportunity as a country to assess progress, but also deal with the issue of challenges. It will give us an opportunity to talk about the envisaged gender equality bill. It will also give us an opportunity to come up with the program of action for the country, so that gender equality is mainstream and women empowerment programs are there, and this program of action will have indicators as to if we are monitoring and evaluating as the department, what is the yardstick. And that is why there are issues papers that have already been developed. One, we have the issue paper on the envisaged gender equality bill, or issue paper saying what is going to be in the gender equality bill. Because at the moment we are still busy with the process of taking all the legislation that is in place.
Mm-hmm.
Legislation that is dealing with transformation. Your CGE Act, your Employment Equity Act, your KEPUDA, the promotion of equality and prevention of unfair discrimination. We reduce all. We taking all those acts, and we legislation, and we are also taking into consideration benchmarking with the international, because there are countries like Australia, like Sweden, that do have your gender equality acts that are in place. So the issue papers are being developed, and together with the issue papers, we are also developing a gender mainstreaming strategy for the country that is going to be discussed in the conference.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson and members, the people that will be attending, the portfolio committee is obviously one of the participants, and rural women, women with disabilities, young women, women from the private sector, etc., etc. We dealt with it, and okay, the part which I think that we did not answer, honourable members, is that part which says, is there any agreement or money that we have donated to the Talabantu?
Mm-hmm.
There is no money. There is no agreement. Mm-hmm. There is no money. We responded on the invitation, and that word that we formally withdrawn was about the minister going there,
mm-hmm.
and the minister delivering a speech, but also them giving us an opportunity to distribute our pamphlet and all other promotional material. The second part of that is that as a department, we are not aware of anyone that has contributed any money. We are not in a position to respond at that because we are not aware. But as for us as a department, there's no agreement and there's no monetary contribution that we make. The issue of the MDGs, Chairperson, is yes, we are participating in the government process of the MDGs, and this process is led by Statistics South Africa. It's led by StatsSA, because it's StatsSA that has come up with the methodology that is going to be used by government to come up with a report assessing the progress on how we are doing. We are participating there. Yes, there is MDG3 that deals with gender equality, but we have also commented on all the other MDGs that are there to ensure that they are engendered, they respond to issues of gender, and also we're participating as a department because in the MDGs, obviously, honorable members, there are issues of children, there are issues of persons with disabilities, and so on. I think I will stop there and give over to the colleagues.
Good morning or afternoon, honorable members. I'll want to take on the issue of the report on the children for the UN and for the AU. Yes, we've done the report, they are done. But the process before we get it to the cabinet, we have to get it to the faster committee of the DGs then. So that they can be able to interact with the report and see what else is missing from their respective departments. So that they can also inform, when it gets to the subcommittees of cabinet, if they can be able to inform their ministers what is coming and what is not there, from their side on the reports that were done by the country. And then from there, it has to go to the subcommittees of cabinet, and then to the full cabinet. It will then, I think we will have to undertake that we will bring it back to the committee after the full cabinet thing, but we can't do it the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
It has to go through the full cabinet first before they give us an undertaking to say that they are happy with it, it can now go to Parliament. And then it will come to Parliament before it goes to be deposited to the respective organizations.
Mm-hmm.
To go back to the issue of the one woman, I think we need to also reiterate government commitment to prioritize rural areas, and in particular for us, rural women and children in rural areas as well as people with disabilities. So in the endeavor that we are talking about, we want to really go to rural areas. And I think that is in line with the country commitment. Yes, you will go to townships and the cities, but the priority would be those in rural areas. So our program must really go to the places where the women are, where we will be interacting with the women. And the plan also for the endeavors, we are not just going to come and speak and hear and go. What we want to do in the interactive process is also to bring services. So we will be coming also with other departments, you know, to say Home Affairs, come, if there are issues of birth certificates of children, of ID, let's deal with them right there in there. If there are issues of grants and all of that, and if there are needs, and I would also like to say, for us here, when you get there, do doctor, you know, just get into, no visit the people there, you know, that's the kind of program we are talking about in respect to the interactive processes. What has not come out, and I think it's a problem with disability, and I'd like to just give me just a short second to say that in terms of disability, we are planning a summit on disability. A summit that will also coincide with the International Day of Disability, 2nd and 3rd of December, which will develop a plan, national plan of action for South Africa in the implementation of the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. Secondly, we need to have develop an awareness campaign on disability that will rally all South Africans around issues of disability. And that campaign of the group we will do together with the representatives, together with the side members of the sector themselves, and we must do it together in that campaign. Raise awareness and see where we need to ensure that there is intervention. And from our side as the ministry, we think there is also a policy gap. Within disability, there is a disability strategy. Now, I think that we need to develop a disability policy that will perhaps, you know, lead us towards a legislation on disability in that region. So in that sense, there is a program for all the three components of the ministry and department, and they will also be in line within our budget constraints. We will try to ensure that we really are able, you know, to run those programs as indicated. So as to the inclusion, I want to emphasize the point that we want to work with everybody, with all the sectors, with all political parties, with all interested parties, to ensure that we address all the issues affecting the sectors within the ministry. We accepted DA in East London. To our disappointment, the DA was missing. You see, and we wouldn't know, Chairperson, because our program says that all multi-party, all parties are part of the team. You see, and the chairperson of the Women's Caucus was part of the process early enough in the program to ensure a successful event of Women's Day come August 9 of 2010. Where there are witnesses,
we have to work together to ensure that we deal with those reasons. But otherwise, the commitment is there, and there is no way that we can't work, you know, together in this regard, because we have got to work together to ensure that the mandate is fulfilled in the manner that should be appreciated by people in our country. Thank you.
I just wanted to note the advice given by Honorable Women on the issue of the incident during the FIFA World Cup. We will work with the relevant stakeholders and we will follow up on those of the advice noted. Also, we note the advice from the Honorable Member on us waiting very closely with the Home Affairs on the death and the SLF Department of Justice regarding the bridge. Also, we noticed the advice regarding the declaration that was, or the resolution that was presented by Elizabeth Banks. We will check on that. Coming to the issue, the question that was raised by the Honourable Member on the development and use of the disaggregated data, I will ask the disability sector, and the other two branches are working very closely to develop the disaggregated data.
Thank you, Honourable Members, Honourable Chairs. I will give a specific example. How the department works within the disability sector to do this work. Firstly, we have done work with the president on developing indicators on three areas of work, social security, health, and education. And in each case, we developed five indicators, so we have about a total of 15 indicators. That indicator compendium is available, that was published by the president in June. This is the way that we do every second, what, third quarter of the financial year. The second example is the National Disability Survey that we are working with the Statistics Office to develop, and it will be completed in 2027. The issue here is that we are trying to determine the accuracy of disability statistics in South Africa with regard to how many people have some form of disability. So we designed a questionnaire with the statistics with regards to the definition of disability as per 2005 definition from CABINET. The third one, Honorable Chair, also to advertise the work of the department. We have worked with the University of Cape Town to design a course, a master's degree, on disability studies. And this is a very, very useful course for anybody who really wants to know about research development. And we went to the University of Stellenbosch last year on the 2nd of December to look at what are the main research topics that we could work together with as a continent towards kind of working towards understanding disability data and how to deal with it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can I just check with the department? Thanks for the responses. On the issue of just South Africa, on the issue of the MDGs, department says they're working along with them. Just South Africa, are they dealing with numbers or contents as well? Can I just check that? But in my view, I thought they were just dealing with numbers.
Thank you. The department has been fully involved with TAP South Africa in terms of the development of the MDG report for 2010. It started in 2009. In November, TAP had a methodology workshop. And this was really a huge a gathering of various stakeholders. They tried to get in civil society as well. So initially, the South Africa did its MDG report through the Department of Foreign Affairs as a focal point. And that particular report in 2005 from government has been rejected by the United Nations on the basis that I think there were shadow reports that went through. So the process then moves now to SAP South Africa, who is the lead facilitator in the country for the country report. And they brought together all the relevant stakeholders, including civil society. So they did a methodology workshop. They established what they call sector working groups for each of the goals. Now, in that workshop, I was quite vociferous together with other women that were there, and even some men, who spoke out as to the cross-cutting nature of gender equality across all 8 MDGs. And at that stage, we were given to understand that, that it would, you know, it would be taken on board, and we would be given a chance to interact with each of the MDGs. And I even did a presentation on aligning the MDGs with CEDAW, with Beijing, and I showed them how. And it was well received. But the sector in which we worked on gender equality was actually controlled by the education, because it goes together. So anyway, following that process, we worked over a number of months working with information, sourcing information. So there's been a close collaboration. And then there was a validation workshop this year. So STEP was validating the information that it was getting on the MDG, but it was also developing the report through writers. So it was not, it was more than just statistics, it was facilitating the process of the report. It, each goal had its own writer. And the writer for goal 3 was, I think it was, the chief person was David Badlander. And we did look at that, and we did make our comments again as a department.
Thanks for the explanation, because if you had not explained all this, I was going to ask you what informs this, but I think you have covered that.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable Robinson?
Just a quick question, also arising from what was said now about the UN rejecting a process or rejecting shadow reports. I just want to find out exactly what the procedure is for reports with to the UN and to the AU. It was stated that these reports are going to go to Cabinet and then come to Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the wrong way around? Shouldn't they come to us first so that we can give input as well, and then it can go to Cabinet? Because once Cabinet has it, then it's virtually a seal of approval or disapproval.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure that the correct process is being followed?
I don't know, but I think that would be then an issue of policy. I don't know if anyone in this room would be, but I take your point as the chair, but perhaps from our side, let us talk about it. But that is the procedure at the moment. If we then say we don't see it as correct, not unless someone would have a different explanation of the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
May I share the CEDAW process, maybe that will help us.
In the CEDAW process, we did a number of consultations with various stakeholders, but we presented our qualifying draft. We shared it with, at that time, the JMC. And then they made input, they gave us their opinion. We went back, we worked with that, and I think we did a consultation on that final draft, which we then submitted to through the DG cluster up to Cabinet. And then it came back to Parliament during the Women's Parliament. So we did get the input of the committee, yes.
So, Robinson, you're covered.
Yes, Chair, but can we now ensure that we are consulted then?
I'm sure they will take your point.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I've got a number of questions I'd like to answer. Otherwise, the Honourable Member will be able to do that. Chair, I would make one comment. the department has been quite clear about the fact that when we host any form of celebration relating to our business, and we do it in the provinces, that we host it in the provinces and we use the provinces' infrastructure, and any money that is spent in the provinces, so that we try not to procure stuff from Gauteng and take it from there. The challenge that we do have, the prices rise immensely in the provinces when they know that it's happening. So the costing is, and in the Women's Day celebrations, I would like to convey to the committee that we had people deployed over there that were monitoring the actual expenditure, and we did engage with the province at a very high level to make sure that the kind of expenditure that they were putting forward is not going to happen that way, and there were agreements, and when the final accounts come, we will only be paying what was agreed on. It's not an enrichment process.
Mm.
Although we want to distribute the funding equally in the departments as well, we want to make sure that we can account for it at the end of the day. Just to add on to that, the honourable member asked of unauthorised and overspending. Currently, we use the presidency's policies and processes for all procurement that is required and done. And it's a bit difficult to say at this point in time. The intention is that we will not be overspending, and there will be no unauthorized expenditure within the department, because we do follow the processes quite clearly. To sneak in, the presidency did get an unqualified support, so our processes do work, and the Auditor General is happy with the way that we are dealing with our business. So I think that is an indication that we are going to deal with that. Obviously, we have lost money in the adjustments budget. If we don't get all the money that we need in the adjustments budget, we will reprioritize our business to make sure that we manage our business inside the allocated budget. The Minister has also started a project in the department to curb spending so that we make sure that we can account for everything that we do. In terms of the breakdown of the budget, as the honourable member had asked, it's going to be a bit of a challenge, as I indicated, because everything is in a suspense account in the presidency's budget. But in the next 2 weeks, we'll conclude the reallocation of the monies to the department, and we'll have a clear breakdown of what was spent for each item, and we'll be able to make that available to the committee. The issue of the CGE and the payment of their rent, it's a bit of a difficult answer to give offhand, because I would have to engage with the CEO over there just to see what was allocated and what was not. The principle is, and in our dealings with the NYDA, if the CGE moves out and they have a building of their own, they have to find ways in their budget to pay for it. It's a process, and the process is the same as the landlord is a landlord who is the Minister of Public Works. just to make sure, this gender sensitivity training of mine has gone from hearing leaps and bounds over the last few months. Just to say that the process is, the departments do, I submitted a needs assessment to the Department of Public Works in terms of space requirements. They assisted us, they show us buildings that meet that requirement, we take a decision on what is our preference. And our preference is different to normal government departments in the sense that we are quite adamant about the way that the accessibility of the buildings are, and to make sure that there's no compromise as far as that. We've got to set the standard, and we've got to guide the way forward as far as that is concerned. They then go, there's a formal tender process that they follow and to procure the building, and then they are the landlords of the building, we are the occupants. They procure the building, they make sure that it's built. There's a transfer payment that goes to the Department of Public Works. We don't pay any owner of a building any money. It's all done through the Department of Public Works, and that is the way that it's being done. The estimated cost of the building that we have identified, that we're waiting finalization on, a full year cost is about 6.7 million rand for a year, which includes the maintenance and the upkeep of the building as well. And then all the other costs are departmental costs for infrastructure, including furniture and the capital expenditure. That relates to that. Once we have finalization of that, then we will also make that information available. Currently, that is part of the adjustment budget to make sure that the money is made available. We have given the needs assessment through to the National Treasury as well, and in the adjustments budget, that is part of the funding that we will get. And I think those are the questions that we left. Thank you.
Chairperson, there's just one question that was around the issue of children, whether we only contemplating on the children's day, but the campaign. I would like to say that part of the day, a child protection and development framework, the draft, which was alluded to in the presentation, and we are hoping that after finalizing the provincial consultative meeting, we will then have the framework finalized and in place. At the moment, we have a draft. But that does not mean that the work is not happening. And we also want to add that the campaign, the rights and responsibilities awareness campaign, it's an ongoing campaign, because we realize that maybe as government, as the people of South Africa, we concentrated more on the side of rights. And we neglected the responsibility part of it. As a result, now with this ongoing campaign that we started on children's rights and responsibility.
First of the last one, honorable members, there was a question that asked, how are we managing without the staff, the full complement of the staff that we have? I must say it's a challenging process, but we have had to find creative ways of making do with what we have and do the best things that we can. And part of that was also to have people seconded from other departments, with the assistance of the other ministries, for a period to work on something, and then you continue identify what you need done at the moment, and then conclude on that. So that too has assisted. But I must say, Chairperson, that with this team here, as you can see, we have tried our best under very trying circumstances. I mean, it's less than 25 people, including the branches themselves, as well as the people within the minister's office. So we have all of us have got our hands on that to ensure that we do the work that is expected of us, so that we don't come and say that, no, we don't have enough. But hopefully, once you get the people that we are waiting for soon enough, we will be able to run with the program, But we have tried within the constraints that we have to stretch to the limit to ensure that we do the work that is in front of us in that. So I just thought that I should also, add to the committee, because the concern was raised, how do we manage that? And through the assistance of hands of many other, people in that regard, to ensure that we actually achieve our goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. I think also you raised an issue of the disability summit. In all what would interest us as a committee is the content of the summit. It should be value for money. I think that's our concern as a committee. That is all. Whatever summit, you call it summit or but it should be value for money. And we should be able to ask ourselves, okay, there was this tribute. What has it done for those women?
Mm-hmm.
What has it done for the department?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I think that's what would interest us.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the issue of the disability summit, we would see what it would look like. But from my side, we have a protocol on disability, which states exactly what should happen. So if the summit is about implementing that, I would say it's fine. But if it's about something else, it doesn't help us there. If it's about making sure that public service and administration meet the 2% that has been agreed upon, then the summit is fine, you understand? Because those are the issues. Not just to have you know, an event for the sake of an event. It doesn't help us, it doesn't help the people it's intended for, it doesn't help the department. But also I would challenge the department in their spare time, sometime if they could spare time, if ever there is a spare time, visit the what hospital is it? Here in Cape Town? Is it?
Are the children right? The Red Cross.
The Red Cross. You'll find interesting stories if you would go there. I remember once we took a visit there. I know Honorable Kwekana was part of it. You know, they were in need of simple things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was so heartening. Simple things that we could contribute, even as members of parliament,
mm-hmm.
we could contribute towards that in our little, you know, a means that we have. If you could just pay a visit one day there, I'm sure you would come up with something very interesting. Members, are you Honorable Duncan? Let me give Honorable Pearl. I've been omitting her. For your question, please don't be long, and then after you, it will be Honorable Duncan.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just so short one, I forgot to ask. What are the critical children's rights imperatives referred to in the presentation? How does this relate to the agreed upon targets as outlined in the department's strategic plan for 2010 to 2014? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I heard what the Minister said at the Ministry. And Chairperson, even besides also what you just raised, that we would like to see much more than hosting summits.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I would like to bring under the attention of the Ministry and the Minister is the government adopted the outcome-based approach. Outcome-based service delivery model, which means that the concentration is going to be on outcome, and that it is very much focused on service delivery. And within the mandate and of the department, I think it would be right to stay on track in holding the 36 departments of federal government responsible and accountable. It would also be a concentration of this ministry to even parallel hold all provinces accountable for delivery on revenue as well as local government. I would want to believe maybe further engagement with NGOs is necessary, but I also want to say, let us keep the money available to make the difference in the lives of our people. We can no longer waste it. We must start looking at the situation of our people from, I always say, from an economic point of view, and stop looking at it from a social point of view. Because what our people need is the socio-economic rights. That is what they need. They need homes, they need a job, they need to live in a place where the infrastructure is proper to live a decent life, to be able to send their children off to school where they can be educated, and then eventually have a prosperous society. So I really urge the Minister. I will support this ministry in each and every way, but if we're going to waste money on just getting together merely for the sake of getting together, to gather information, I promise you, Minister,
there are plenty of documents at national, provincial, right across the country with relevant information around these sectors. Please first go see what exists and what works well, and then from there take on whatever it is that we don't have. This is a desperate plea from my side, because I'm here to serve these sectors better my ability. So I really plea that we don't waste money. Thank you, Chief Member, and I will ask another question.
There's one question from the Honourable Peterson.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Thanks for the question, Honourable Member. I think when we refer to children's rights imperatives, we refer to aligning our responsibilities with the five government priorities. And that itself, perhaps one can just add an example. If you look at rural development and land reform, we have gone through all the five priorities and looked at what is it that is imperative for children. And with regard to land reform, you may find in many instances the process is excluded among other critical infrastructure things, your recreational facilities for children. So those issues that we have identified, we take them to the department and say, just because we have realized there's a gap. This is why we think children's rights imperative to make things in those key technical departments.
Thank you very much. I think we've set a mouthful. And I think also what was said by the last speaker, the Honourable Duncan, let us take that into account. You know, let us just tell ourselves that it cannot be correct, and it cannot be right for us, you know, to be free when our people are not free. Let us just tell ourselves that we may do it, but it can't be correct. It won't be correct. It will never be correct. That we live in decent houses, decent clothing, decent what, if our people are not even halfway there. So it can't be correct. So if the department could just take that at the back of their mind, I know you are, but it's just words of encouragement that we should always understand it that way. We do whatever we can do within the limited resources that we have. Then let us once more wish you luck in your endeavors to try and make ends meet with the little that you have. And can we then formally close the meeting? Thank you very much.
Can we thank the chairperson? We call leaving the meeting so well.
Mm-hmm.
I said we didn't thank the chairperson. The same for the department.
But I can't thank myself.
No, and the department is supposed to thank
you. We love them. The department is supposed to thank the chairperson.